Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
That time of the night again. Time to chat to an interesting person. That's what we kind of do at the end of the night, isn't it? Talk to an interesting person. Now, Jane, my producer, is forever telling me that I should write a book. And I'm sure many of you know someone who has a story to tell as well. I have lots of stories to tell. Anyway, well, did you know that anyone can write a book and do what they call a self-publish? This means you don't need a publisher. You can do it yourself. Now, in the literary world, there is actually a bit of snobbery around self-published books, as our next guest will explain. Yvonne Redding is an author and journalist who self-published her book Talk, Learn, Connect in 2022. She's a solo parent who started her writing career at the age of 49. Yeah, so I mean, you don't have to be too young, by the way, or too early in your life to start. You can start writing anytime. And she joins me now on the line to talk about the world of indie publishing. Remember years ago they used to have indie records. Navigating life as a single working mum. Welcome to the show, Yvonne. Oh, sorry, I didn't switch you on there. I do apologise. Sorry, Yvonne. How are you?
I'm here. How are you? Thank you.
No problem. Now, Jane is always telling me that I should write a book because I have so much to talk about and I have so much to tell about my own life and mother and baby homes and all that kind of stuff. Right? She keeps saying, you should write a book. And I'm going, I don't have the time to be writing a book. You know, and I don't have to be looking for publishers and a ghostwriter or whatever it is you need to do. But you don't need to do all that, do you?
Well, I mean, it is good to have somebody on your side and working alongside you. But even if you hadn't got time to write it, Niall, you might have time to talk about it on like using AI and audio platforms, which definitely makes it easier in terms of the time, you know, using that time wisely to get things out. You have to have something there for a ghostwriter or somebody to help you do it. First and foremost, anyway, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like
you have to have a story. Or does everybody? Everybody has a story, haven't we? All have a story.
I think so. I think everyone has a story. We all have different strands of things that happen in our lives. But maybe the story is just one of those strands. You know, that is the most important part of your life. I have an adoption story as well, by the way, Niall.
Yeah.
And that's part of my story as well, I suppose. But there's all different things that happen through your life, as you well know.
Yeah.
Your life experience is your story, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
it is.
So everyone has to have it.
Yeah.
Whether you want to share that or not now is the next kind of step.
And was that the kind of step you had to take at 49 years of age, that you wanted to share some of your life and your world with other people?
Yeah, look, I was at home, a stay-at-home mom for nearly 20 years, and I always blogged and I studied at home. I did a journalism degree, studied and trained how to do digital marketing. And so I used my time wisely at home, and I blogged about being a single parent, and that's kind of where it stemmed from, you know, if I looked back on it now. And then I suppose when my kids were old enough to go to school and I'd done and dusted with them a little bit, they're always there. It never stops parenting. But I just kind of went, look, if I keep putting it off all my life, I'll never begin.
Yeah.
So I started my business in 2020 in the pandemic, but everybody was online. So it actually worked out perfectly for me to do what I do, which is content writing and social media posts and anything to do with writing. So it worked out well for me. So I began an interview series and I interviewed people. And they were all at home doing nothing anyway, so it was great. They all said yes because they were bored.
They were bored, just looking for someone to talk to.
Someone to talk to, exactly. But I collected all that information and it was all written. And then I put it all into a book. So there was 38 interviews I did during the pandemic with a range of people in all different industries. So I transferred them into a book and that became my first book.
And how did it go for you?
It wasn't the first book. Yeah, great. And it wasn't the first book that I intended to publish.
Yeah.
I always thought I'd write a memoir. But it's good to try something first before you want to do your big book, say.
Yeah.
So it was a real
sort of dipping your toe in the water.
World.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So the world of self-publishing is challenging. rewarding. It's difficult.
So when you say self-publishing, right, so it means that you have to write the book, you have to check it over, you have to do the legal on it, I imagine,
everything.
As well.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because obviously, there's, for people who don't know, there's legal involved. You make sure that there's no defamation in the book or whatever it happens to be, right? So you have to go through all of that yourself.
Depending on what you write. Yeah. But it's not even that. It's more using, you can write it all yourself, but you may need proofreaders, you may need an editor. It's actually a big business now, Niall.
Yeah.
There's publishing companies that are helping self-published writers, you know, just self-publishing writers. And they've created a great business from it.
Right,
you know,
okay.
It's lovely. But they know their stuff and they've learned the trade. So for me, I knew all the proofreading side, the writing, putting it all together, but it was the technical side and the formatting that I hated. So that's where I needed help.
Okay, so what's the technical and formatting side? Explain that to me.
So for me, it's like Amazon, it's getting it all. You have to have the format right for Amazon. If you don't have certain dimensions right, you can't upload it onto Amazon. If you want to go that route, selling it globally. Yeah. I mean, there is other avenues you can use, and other companies that have set up by the book is another one that Irish self-published writers use to sell their book from. And Rachel is great. She helps people. She gives them a platform to sell their book.
Yeah.
And Lettertech is another one in Cork. And they help you with all the difficulties with book self-publishing a book. And they have a platform to sell it as well.
Yeah.
So there is lots of different avenues to go. But
so is this all online, by the way?
Most of it would be online. Yeah,
like you don't get a hard and soft copy.
You can get a hard and soft copy if you like. Yeah, and then you can have an ebook as well.
Okay.
So all these things are different sizing, different dimensions. So that's where you need help. If you're good at tech, it'll be fine. But I'm not brilliant at tech.
Well, with AI now, you can have an audio version as well, because you can get AI now to do the audio version for you.
Yeah, and Audible is a huge, huge other platform for new authors as well.
Yeah, what's the story with Audible? Every time I watch a YouTube video now, Audible comes up. They must be spending a fortune on marketing. But I've never used it, so I don't know.
Yeah, and look, I suppose everyone, they're looking at the way people are living now. They're out walking, well-being. So they're listening to stories now instead of reading them. So Audible is a great way to listen to a story, you know, instead of reading it. Everyone is so busy now.
Yeah.
But Audible's, I mean, even they hire actors, writers hire actors to read their books, or they do it themselves. It's a huge industry, and it's another area to look at when you're writing a book and when you finish writing your book.
Yeah.
What will I do next? Audible's is there's a huge market there.
Yeah. I mean, Stephen Fry does all the Harry Potter books, doesn't he? I think. Stephen.
Yeah, exactly. He's a great voice for that.
Yeah. Believable. It has to be believable. So, I'm assuming you get a kind of great satisfaction of, you know, seeing your book eventually up online or whatever it is.
Yeah. But even just getting it in the post, when you have it all ready and you go to a company where it's printing it for you, they send you your author copy in the post. I mean, I cannot describe the feeling. It's all the hard work and all the screaming and crying and banging at the walls. The achievement and the accomplishment. There's nothing like it.
Does anyone still use a typewriter anymore? There are some authors in the world.
It's funny that you say that. Yeah, there is. My daughter, my friend bought my daughter a typewriter. She works in a secondhand shop, and a typewriter came in and she got it from my daughter. My daughter's 10 and she's a really good writer already. She's just got a natural gift. But she got her a typewriter. Now I have to find where to get the ink and where to get the bands and all the Tippex stuff that goes with it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I haven't seen Tippex in years.
There.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, do people use typewriters still? I'm sure they do. Sure,
yeah, we had it. We had a big, my father bought a typewriter when I was a kid. It was huge, the weight of it. It was a Remington typewriter. It was a massive thing.
Yeah.
And I remember remember typing stuff. I was typing letters out when I was only about 13 or 14 years of age. And they were the days when nobody else had a typewriter, you know?
Yeah.
And look at us now.
Yeah,
look
at
us
now. I think you'd be trendy now having a typewriter.
But you know what I'm seeing a lot of? People writing stuff right online. And I know it's ChatGPT. I know by reading it.
You know what?
It's so annoying.
I can articulate to straight away. Yeah.
Yeah, it uses the same words all the time, like delve.
Exactly. But like, you know, there is good things with AI as well. Like, you know, people, it does work for some in some areas of work and people are using it, if you use it wisely.
Oh, no, I use it. We use it every day for the podcast that I do every day.
Yeah.
So when I upload the podcaster and we want to put an explainer or description of the podcast, we use ChatGPT to write it out. We put the details in, it writes it out. So it's really easy for us. Now, you have to proofread it, of course, because it writes some mad
stuff.
But
even ideas. But even if you wanted to know about something, even just put in, you know, can you tell me, explain something in a different way?
Yeah.
Okay, can you do it, like, can you write it as a travel writer, say? It, like, it does give you ideas, and then you can go in and tweak it, you know, go in and you put your voice on it.
Yeah.
But you can definitely pick out the AI a mile away on social media.
Worry you, by the way, that the future, at the moment, AI is fairly obvious, I think, in most cases, but the future, you know, AI will start thinking for itself, AI will become more natural looking, it'll look like a real writer, you know, and all of a sudden there'll be Yvonne Redding and she'll just go, ChatGPT, just write me a book about my own life. You know what I mean? And it'll go and do it.
And you know, it's funny, I seen something on Instagram there yesterday. Mariella Frostrup, she was at the radio show she was on, and somebody did an AI of her voice. Like, she was listening to somebody else, her own voice on the radio. So you can even copy the voice and her speaking on a radio show. That's scary.
Oh,
because
it is.
Her voice was identical to the AI.
Mm-hmm.
It was, oh my God. You know, what can you do? It's the way forward. And
is this something called indie publishing? Because years ago, there used to be indie records, I remember, years ago, for music, which is the independent labels. So this is indie publishing, is it?
Well, it's independent publishing.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's another way to kind of introduce yourself to companies instead of saying self-publishing. Self-publishing scares people.
Yeah.
They think, okay, this one's a self-published writer. She's not going to be any good.
That's a bit of snobbery there, isn't there?
It is a snobbery, and it's there and it's still there, but it's up to myself. I'm on a committee for an awards. There's only one awards. It's called the CAP Awards, Carousel Aware Prize, and it's particularly for indie writers in Ireland.
Okay.
And I suppose that's the way to go forward. I mean, this misconception of indie writers being dreadful, and they're not. I mean, if you invest, a lot of writers I know invest in their craft. They hire people. They've spent a fortune and producing this gorgeous book with a beautiful cover. You know, if you do it right, your book can be just as or even better than the traditional writers, the books you see in the bookshop. There is a snobbery, but it's up to us to change that, I suppose.
And do you have to write with perfect grammar and perfect spelling? And
because
I tend to write as I talk. So people often give it, when I'm writing something, I tend to write it as I'm thinking it, you know, as I'm... Which sometimes maybe isn't grammatically always correct. You know what I mean? So,
well, you can get away with that being a self-published writer, Niall. But I think if you produced a book like that to a traditional, you know, house, publishing house, I don't think you'd ever get a response. Maybe I'm being wrong here. I think it does have to be, you have to have a proofread. You have to. You can still have your voice, but if you have a good ghostwriter who understands what you're saying and your tone of voice and your story, well, then that's the trick, is to find that ghostwriter that gets what you're trying to say. It does have to be spot on, because as a self-published writer, people are quick to jump on you and say, well, there was a typo there. There was an edit in your book. They love that.
Yeah.
So it does have to be really tight.
Yeah.
To be considered a good writer, everything has to be tight. So, you know, this award is great for any indie writers, anyone maybe listening tonight who has a book and they want to do something with it. They publish it and have it ready. There's this award for that.
Okay, it's called the Carousel Aware Prize for independent publishing authors. And there's a deadline on that, by the way, if you want to enter. It's May the 6th.
The 6th of May, that's correct.
Okay,
yeah, so there's still a bit of time,
Yeah. Okay.
And there's all different categories,
And you kind of focus very much on your life as a solo parent. By the way, the circumstance that you ended up being a solo parent, I don't want to go too much into your personal life, but although I'm sure you've written it in the book anyway, the circumstance, how did you end up in that situation? And was that a difficult road that you kind of travelled on?
I haven't written that book yet, Niall. That's coming.
Oh, is
it? I have to be careful about that.
Okay.
Names and all have to be changed for that one.
To protect the innocent,
Exactly. So,
but was it a difficult road being a single mum?
God, yes. Yeah. And I write about it a lot for the newspapers, particularly The Examiner.
Yeah.
I write about solo parenting. You know, the early years were really tough.
Yeah, there was a piece, by the way, for people who want to know, there's a piece The Examiner today called Opening the Door to Dating as a Solo Mother.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, so is that difficult, by the way, bringing dates? Well, you wouldn't bring a date home, would you? Or do you?
Well, I haven't even gone dating in a long time. So that article was a tough one because I have thought about it now. I never thought about it. My twins are 10 now, by the way.
Yeah.
My oldest boy is 21. So I had a big gap there for 11 years and then I had twins. So, and I was an older mom as well. The thought never entered my mind of even dating, like even 7-8 years ago. Because I just needed to get through the day. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, I had three kids. I had a 12-year-old when the twins were born. So
yeah, so romance was the last thing on your mind.
Well, look where romance got me, you know what I mean? I had twins. So, you know, I had to I just wanted to sleep. I just get through the day.
I know that feeling. You know? I know when you're working two jobs a day and you're working to 12 at night and then back up the next morning at 7:30, I know that feeling.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so you just want to catch up on everything. But like that was the last thing. Like a career as well. My career had to be put on hold for 17, 18 years.
Yeah.
Like, and that really angered me that everything had to be put on hold because the other person didn't help and didn't support me. And I kind of suffered that way.
Yeah.
That I had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait.
Yeah.
Until I was in my 40s and I was like, oh my God, I can't wait anymore. I just had to go for it. I had my friend helped me, you know, advise me about setting up a business and going self-employed. So, look, it's taken a good few years, but I'm getting there. The journalism is my bread and butter now. You know, I write articles on all different topics now, but the solo parenting would be something I'd be very passionate about because it's my life, you know, and there's so many different branches to that. That affect us, you know.
I had a girl on here one night and she wanted to know, she was looking for advice. Like yourself, she was a single mom of like three kids.
Mm.
And she said, on your Tinder profile, do you put down that you have children if you're a single parent? And I said, well, why wouldn't you? And you like, if you want to, why wouldn't you? And she said, because it tends to be a red flag for a lot of blokes. And I'm going, well, that's their problem.
But if it's a red flag for blokes, you're on the wrong site. And I wouldn't go near them anyway. I can't stand that like that. You know, someone my age, I'm in my 50s now. I want to meet someone that age. They're after probably going through loads of crap as well.
Would you go online dating or would you go for the old traditional way of meeting a lad in a pub?
I'd love to do it traditional. Now, the article I wrote today, I had a relationship lady. She's a matchmaker, a coach.
Yeah.
So I said to her, I'm going to hire you and let's see. Because I've never done anything like that. I'm going to see how that goes. I'm going to try it out. I'll write an article about it and tell everyone.
Okay.
Because I like sharing all these things because there's people going through all these things as well.
Yeah.
And it's nice. I don't mind being honest. I think as you get older, you don't care.
Yeah.
And being honest about things is the way to go, you know, and if it helps.
But relationships are not the same anymore because with online dating, I find it's like a catalogue, you know, and it's kind of like more like hookups rather than dating, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why it's nice to meet somebody out and about. You know, I go to quite a few events now with the books and I speak at events about self-publishing with a friend of mine called Jane Buckley. We're doing an event in Derry soon as well about how to market your book.
Yeah.
So that's another one. If somebody's interested in it, they can contact me after the show if they're interested. But so like you have, hopefully at events and going to things like this, you meet somebody like-minded. You know, because I didn't meet somebody like-minded before. You know what I mean?
No, obviously
I
not.
Just don't want to go down that same route again. You want to find somebody different. So where do you find someone different? Yeah, this is the thing, you know.
And is there many indie publishers in Ireland?
There is loads, there's loads. The competition's fierce, but that's good. Competition is good, isn't it?
And, you know, and is anybody making money? Is anybody making decent money out of it?
I don't. Do any writers make money? I don't think you're in it for the money. You know, I really don't. It's funny because...
Well, you'd like to get a few quid out of it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course you would. But when you take in all, you know, if you're on Amazon, if your book's in colour, all these things add on to the price of the book.
Yeah.
So there is ways to make money, and I'm going to talk about that in the workshop that I'm doing with this lady in Derry.
Yeah.
You know, the libraries are another avenue to go.
Yeah.
They take in your book and you can sell them that way.
Yeah.
That can be quite lucrative.
Yeah.
But it's knowing all these things. You learn all these things.
Is there many libraries still? I mean, there was libraries in every street corner when I was a kid. But are they still there?
There is, Niall, yeah. Yeah, they are. And you go to a bookshop in Rathmines and you get your book in there. You target the libraries and it can be quite good, yeah.
I haven't been to a library since I was a child.
Really?
No.
Well, if you're going to write and you want to be an author, it's a nice area to look into. Mm. They are still very popular. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
I think it's sad sometimes when you see children, you know, on screens constantly all the time.
I know.
I think it's really sad because, you know, books are such a wonderful thing and they're great for the imagination, you know what I mean? So when I see them on screens just looking at YouTube or TikTok or whatever, it's like they're wasting their lives away.
Well, I think that we may need to think of a way to make books interesting again for kids online. Maybe that's another avenue to look at, you know, because Kindle. I don't use Kindle. I prefer a hardback book. I love smelling a good book.
Yeah, there's lovely smell off a book. I used to love that when I used to go back to school, you know, in September. My mum would buy all the books at Easton's or Folan's or whatever it was. And I used to love flicking the pages and sniffing the book. I love the smell of the paper.
And do you remember, well, my mum used to put wallpaper. We used to get ours covered
in wallpaper.
Oh, the brown paper
and wallpaper. That's it. My dad would get some brown paper and work our wallpaper.
Whatever was left over. I had copies
with the wood chip wallpaper on it.
Oh, do you remember that one as well? Oh, stop.
Bloody wood chip. Yeah. I mean, copies.
Yeah, no, there is. The libraries are great. You know, I'm the same with my kids. My twins are 10.
Yeah,
I do. It's up to the parents to get them off the screens as well, isn't it? You know, you have to limit the time. I try and do that as well and get them writing, get them art. They go to events with me, though, so they come along to a lot of events with me because they have to, because it's difficult for me to get minders, and childcare is just so horrendously dear, babysitting. So I bring them along with me when I travel around Ireland. I bring the kids with me and they sit down the back. So they're meeting writers.
Yeah.
So I think hopefully I'm.
And have they got an interest? Have they got an interest in reading now? Yeah.
Yeah, my daughter is a really good writer. Yeah, definitely.
Good.
I definitely
good.
Think it's working by bringing them with me. Look, I have to. Yeah. You know, they come with me to.
Look, it's not an easy road that you're on. I mean, you're trying to do everything at the one time and then try to satisfy your own passion. And on top of that, try to get a bit of romance as well. So, I mean, it's not an easy road that you're on.
But look, and then I'm talking about relationships as well. What the hell am I thinking?
You're a one-woman show, really, aren't you? I mean, okay, well, look, there's an article, a complete piece in the Examiner today, if people want to look at it, by the way. It's called Opening the Door to Dating as a Solo Mother. The book is called, Talk, Learn, Connect. And that was out in 2022. If people want to go online, they can get that on Amazon and all the usual places.
And I've lots more articles on my website as well, Niall, if I can put that in there. It's YvonneReddin.com. Yeah, thanks.
So it's Yvonne Reddin, and it's spelled REDDIN, not no G, by the way. I put the G in what I said earlier.
That's right, .com, yeah.
Yvonne Reddin. Yeah. All right. Well, Yvonne, it's been lovely talking to you, by the way. Thanks very much indeed for coming on the show. And good to
your
success.
I look forward to reading your book, Niall.
I'm looking forward to you being as famous as J.K. Rowling or something like that. I don't know, maybe soon in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, maybe not as controversial, but certainly.
Well, just stay off X, I think, isn't it?
Maybe. Listen, thank you, Yvonne.
Safe one. Thank you, Niall, for
having
me
on
the show.
Indeed.
Take care.
Bye-bye. There you go. Yvonne Reddin, there you go. An indie publisher. Interesting idea, because Jane's always saying to me, Niall, you need to write a bloody book. Because I've loads of interesting things to talk about. Maybe I will someday if I get time. The problem is you need a bit of time, don't you? You need to sit down each night. You need to be diligent about it. You need to sit down, you know, and have an hour or two to spare or whatever it is. And, you know, do out a chapter maybe every week or two or whatever. And then you'll end up going back and changing loads of it because you go, oh, no, I don't like that bit. Oh, I shouldn't have done that bit. And then there's the legal aspect of it. Everybody thinks you can just write a book about your life and then just publish it and that's the end of it. But you can't. Because if you're mentioning other people in your book, you could be leaving yourself wide open to be sued. So as much as you might want to write a book and say, oh, I remember this fellow I walked with, he was an asshole. You can't say that unless you pretend it's a fictional book and you change all the names. And that's what people will do in those situations where they want to write about other people. They make a fictional book, change all the names, and it's kind of fiction, inverted commas, but we are.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.